first think, why, who, where would we start with this wonderful thing?
The Sunday Skypers. A RPG actual play podcast.
We probably want to look at our beliefs.
Right, but I think yours were pretty straightforward and done.
Pretty much, reopen the breweries of Scoria Deep. I will first secure a source of barley and hops.
Right, get stuff, and then make...
The beer tastes better, yeah. And I do remember that we did have Flint and I'm going to call her Brunhilde, but it's not Brunhilde. What's her name again?
Bruna.
Bruna, we're
so the
heading...
first part is brew, which you should have no problem remembering.
The next part is na, as in shana na 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 na.
If that helps you, great. Na 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 na. Yeah, great.
Anyway, we were talking about Flint's beliefs.
Something about recovering a family crest in the second portion of that, which always makes me laugh and cry at the same time, since it's such a mess. It's such a beautiful mess of parentheses and asterisks. And
In professional circles, it's known as obfuscation. I can always cut and paste it out in the chat if you want to tidy it up, but good luck on that.
You could, and then we could work on, like, well, what do you want to do now with it? Because... Mm-hmm. It seems like there's a lot of planning and a lot of, like, this would be great to do, but no, yeah. This is what I'm going to do now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I believe Flint's beliefs are that I'll worry about that in the future. Or even though he's constantly tripping on the present.
I do think that I have a habit of hitting the two lower ones and then not so much on the top one.
Well, we thought we'd get to Scoria a little bit sooner than we have.
Well, I mean, you could always leave it like that. And if something crops up that pertains to it, like something that I'll throw in to light a fire under your beard.
Hey. You and Bruno, we're going to go to the surface and look for grain. You can always, like, edit to the last one. I will make sure the party gets to Scoria Deep safely and find a source of new grain for beer, for Fandral, for Ufkel.
It's not like you're going to send two people, so...
But the other scouts aren't going to find it. It's got to be Flint that finds it. That's the way these stories go.
Well, it seems to me that you have a potential, like, situation for conflict where Ulfkel needs stuff, but he can't get it himself. You know, you have an expedition that is going to Scoria, and then, you know, detours topside.
Unfortunately, Flint is the master of detours. Certainly, going to Scoria without beer would endanger every dwarf in the company.
You do have beer. It's just that, you know, when you get there...
Yeah, pretty much run out. We got one more batch coming up, and that's it. And then we got...
We have to wait 2 weeks or four for another shipment from Marl.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite happy with leaving the beliefs as is.
But you won't get Artha for it if you do find...
As always, if something arises in play, you can always revise it right away.
True, true.
You know, if a threat comes up, you can always say, I'm going to take care of this threat as a, you know, an added tail end bit to making sure everyone's safe.
Safety is nice and generic that way.
For Fandral, I think the last one, at least, is the belief from the last time, solving the beer issue. And, I mean, we can either start with... you know, from a point of deciding what to do next, or we can set it at a meta point a little later where you write something like, find a source of stuff for Ulfkel or help Ulfkel logistics.
I believe I'll keep the party provisioned.
Is that for Flint?
Why not?
Okay.
that's broad enough and general enough that it counts for anything.
Just like Flint.
Where are you putting that one?
Oh, should I put it in the middle just to make it bad? Now, see, to me, that would be an asterisk and underneath safety, because that's part of safety. But again, my system.
I don't think it necessarily pertains to safety, but which would you rather have? Do you want to, for this session, help both kills specifically or the expedition broadly?
I think I'm more concerned about the expedition because I've already seen the stress and strife that comes from running short on beer. And I want to keep the company well lubricated and moving like a dwarven machine.
All right, let me clarify. What I mean is either you write a belief about helping Oathkill get that stuff so the expedition is better, or you keep the broad belief about safety, and then if something crops up,
we'll keep safety.
We specify there. Okay. Yeah, and it was really that question I was putting to Dirk about Fandral's last belief, whether you want to keep it broad for now and specify in the course of play, or if you want to make that conversation be something that's in the past and decide that, you know, now your belief is I need to make sure. Well, okay, it is in the past actually, because I think last time Oathkill mentioned that you were running low on stuff.
Well, we're
it's been
totally
a couple of weeks now, but I think you did.
Yeah, we were totally out of grain because that last batch you made was the last batch of grain, yeah.
Yeah, that guy told him to come up with a plan to solve his problem.
His plan is get topside. So how can you help him do that? Maybe you could...
To the maps.
Batman jingle.
<Da-da-da-da.
laughs> With a spinning axe.
Look, if there's any way to the surface from where we are that doesn't take 2 weeks.
Find an expeditious topside or something like that. That could actually conceivably be a tail end statement to helping him open the breweries, because, you know, that's where he's going to use all this stuff. And you could add something else under, honestly, the Dwarven Expedition to Scoria. Like, either you could leave it plain and wait for all manner and sundry delightful challenges to authority, or write something specific like, I don't know, since there's no good situation for it yet, but that leaves a potential 2 persona earnings anyway.
Sure.
I should check out what everyone's written for their beliefs, for their updated beliefs. And a way to get brewing supplies. Okay. This works out well, actually. So while this whole shadow game of extortion and counter-extortion goes on in the background and among the other expedition dwarves, I guess we'll focus on the, I can't say wonderful because I can't promise it will be, but this is an interesting foray into the open. We'll say that you're all gathered in a planning stage would be appropriate, since that would be appropriate to Fandral's skills that he can bring to bear. Actually, you know what? I don't want to zoom in so much. I want to get us moving. So we're gonna give the fiction a light touch. Meanwhile, while all manner of extortion is happening with the other dwarves, the three core wonderful creatures are making their little bid for grain and hops and all that fun stuff. And let's say that you're close enough to Scoria now that some of the outlying holds and surface farms once were, at least, they're in range. You could conceivably have reached them if you had a good route and all that. And since Scoria is Scoria Deep, we can assume that it did not have any on its own, so it would have to rely on, you know, things at range.
Yeah, farms and hanging valleys and stuff like that.
Yeah,
as a crossroads, it relied strongly on trade.
Yeah. You're still about half a week away from it. This would be the sweet spot, but before things go down.
Yes.
And I don't mean downhill necessarily. So let's consider what we would need to do to get topside, and then we can fill in the fiction fun as we go along. What what would you do? What would you use to get topside? And I'm going to start with Fandral since he seems to be the dwarf to go to in the planning stages of anything.
Well, we've got a little cartography so we could look over the maps and come up with a planned route.
That sounds good. How could the other dwarves help with that specific task of finding a good path?
Well, obviously Flint's
tunnel-wise.
Yeah, tunnel-wise, and he's been out scouting, so he'd know a little bit about the area. Ulfgell, well, he knows what he needs, so he might know where that stuff would be likely.
No, I know how to buy it. The only person amongst the brewers who actually probably knows what it looks like and where you can find it is Bear, because she comes from a farming family.
Well, I'll bring her over. We'll talk to her.
Oh, matter expert.
Still, I mean, we can always fictionally put her into the mix, but considering that you're, born clansman and have Miller as mm-hmm. one of your life paths there, I'm sure you've been topside and you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've probably gone there to vet the grain merchants and all that.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, right?
But actually growing the stuff, a bit beyond me. But I know how millet and everything. Millet
market. True, you don't have farming-wise or farmer or anything like that yet.
I would imagine that Bear probably does have farming-wise, so she has some idea.
But I guess you would go with...
If I go topside, I'm bringing Bear, because she would help figure out, okay, is this stuff good or is this stuff bad? Or I also imagine because of her skill, she probably also has herb-wise.
Note to self, create Bear.
Yeah.
Burn Bear as a character.
Well, as long as you don't define her, she's eminently flexible.
I like to do that with most characters until they become very important, and then they require a full treatment.
Spoil sport. We were using her like a wild die.
She's our universal gadget.
Yeah. That's your expedition. You can pull anything out of it.
Yeah.
Just remember, you introduced Bear.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I have to tease your read somehow.
Some of these way stations have connections to the surface.
They're
also bolt holes, just in case of a flood or something happens down here. You need a way to get to the surface.
Well, so the trick is, imagine some of them are cisterns and stuff like that.
Which means they have a way to catch rainwater. So it means they have a way to get up there to clean out the crap out of the cisterns that you inevitably will accumulate from all the animals going, oh, look, it's a great place to take a dump.
And that's where the seasoning for these beers come from.
Well, it seems like this first leg is a cartography test with the helping dice from Grainwise and Tunnelwise. Ooh, let's say you want to find a good quick route out of here. That would be an OB3. So it's an OB3 for all of you for your respective skill.
I have a B3 in Tunnelwise. So
that means it is a difficult test. It's the same for Ulfkell. So the person making the test is actually Fandral.
Two helping die. So I'm five die versus obstacle of, what do you say?
Three.
Throw at least one persona then on there just to make it somewhat 50-50. One, two, three, four.
Wow. Okay. Excellent.
Any benefit from popping those sixes or no?
You know, you did say you wanted to find an expedient way, so I'll say any successes above the three will cut down on your traveling time.
All right. Yeah, two more successes.
Ha ha. So that's all of six.
Doubled it.
One, two, five, three, sir.
I can imagine the prince saying, if we take those stairs over there. What?
I guess this is your show. How do you navigate to these twisty tunnels into the wide open? And you can all help and fill in since, you're all helping.
I like the idea that Todd came up with where it's maintenance shaft for a cistern, rough-hewn channel tunnel leading to the surface of an abandoned way station.
Okay, so this tunnel leads to the cistern up top, or it's part of the, where the water goes down into the cistern, which is deeper down, or...
Yeah, you could have a channel. Of course, it's clogged with weeds and algae and crap.
What I kind of imagined is, because this is a major thoroughfare between the two cities, is you would have places where you could stop and water your ponies. So the actual collection basin would be at the tunnel level, but there would be a accessible tunnel that leads up to the surface with a lot of climbing and dwarven handholds built in and stuff like that. So it's not conducive to carts and horses, but any reasonable dwarf should be able to climb it. And, of course, we'll throw in tunnel-wise to point out if there's any weak handholds or anything like that. So I don't see it quite as a vertical shaft as much as a natural crevasse that the dwarves worked and opened up, added sluices and the like. Of course, what I have in my imagination is just having a hard time describing. But the net result is it's a relatively easy climb because it's not sheer. It's not a vertical like shaft leading to the surface as much as, okay, you climb up, then you maybe have a flat spot for like 15, 20 feet, and then there's another ramp up. So it's kind of like a zigzag leading up to the surface.
Imagine there would be like great iron rings set into the stones. You can hold on and tie stuff to it and pull yourself along.
Oh, yeah. In case you were transporting anything from the surface down. Yeah, it's not smooth and polished by any measure. The place where water can trickle down, that is the word I use, a sluice. I kind of like an open gutter for channeling water. Yeah. So it does the water doesn't flow over your path. It's directed to the side. It's not like we're redirecting a stream or anything like that. It's almost like the reverse of a spring, where the water soaks, literally, where the water soaks into the soil. It eventually collects over a large area. The dwarves have focused that so that filtered water runs down and gets centralized in the cistern at the bottom.
Oh, so it's okay. It's like a sluice system coming from an aquifer.
There you go. Yes.
An artificial aquifer made a whole bunch of French drains. Probably just simply dug down deep enough and put in channels, carved channels into the rock, capped them over with porous rock like pumice or something like that that lets water through. And as the water collects, it goes through the pumice into the channels and flows down to probably some sort of collection area, central collection area where everything goes into. Because you need the stages of water so it doesn't just come sloshing all down at once.
Yeah, maybe there's the odd terrace where you have like these pools as well. Mm-hmm. So one thing you notice when you're going up is that in places it seems like some of the buildup of the chalky stuff,
calcite.
That kind of buildup and the growth of the mosses and stuff has been cleared away a little. There's like the odd trace of like a piece of cloth or broken man-made knife. Stuff like that. Little oddments like that, as well as the odd clearing away.
Mm-hmm. How far down do we find that?
You start to find the clearing stuff pretty much right away, here and there.
So right in the weigh station itself, there's clearing.
Yes. I think that's where it's most extensive, but it seems to have been a while ago now. It's not like, someone came there yesterday and started clearing stuff up.
But not more than a year?
Yeah, about a year, maybe.
Oh, God, why don't you go and sniff and taste that stub of a torch?
Don't be silly. It's not beer. He can't tell.
I thought he could maybe carbon date or something.
Now, if it had been a beer flu, he would definitely be able to tell. Just taste it and go, ah.
Yeah, because I hadn't actually opened up taste-wise.
There were six of them. One was angry. All right, you make it all the way up this sort of winding way out into the large natural crack, like you described, into a mountain valley. Immediately nearby, there are fallen in ruins of a dwarven homestead, or several, actually. They haven't been used in forever. In a while, anyway, by dwarf standards. Again, there's some superficial signs of use. If you duck your heads into various places. Oh, by the by, I should ask. Obviously, you're not taking the entire expedition up here, but it would behoove you to bring a few dwarves to carry stuff.
Yeah, I got a few apprentices with me.
Fighters?
Maybe some scouts.
Scouts can fight.
This is an unexplored area, so we take some with us, I suppose.
Right. Grab a couple axe bearers.
Sounds sensible. So maybe there's, what, 20 of you or 30? Oh. Is it a much smaller expedition? Like,
I was thinking
a
like...
a few brewers and then...
More like 10 people. And if we need more, we can get more.
Okay. Any of the named individuals, or are you just taking some of the red shirts?
I probably got Bear with me because she, you know, because we're also, if we're up here, we're going to see if we can find any wild herbs we can use as well. Because if there's no hops, we're going to have to probably, you know, find stuff we can use for bittering. She has herb-wise.
Fingers crossed. The whole purpose of this place was for grains and the like. So what time of the day do we come out in?
You come up in this cloudy, pretty chilly, like late autumn day. The sunlight is sort of poking through the cloud layer in this sort of wan, wistful way, lending the whole scene a bit of a ghostly bygone place feel. Yeah, so you probably see all the, you know, if you're looking northeast, you can see the peaks that, you know, mark where Scoria is far below. And I'm guessing it's this ridiculously guessing. I'm stating that it's this ridiculous, overblown, silly, Lord of the Ringsy kind of weird trident that's just over-gilded in snow. And there are these, like, streamers of snow from high-altitude gales just blowing from the tops. Kind of like a Frank Frazetta painting.
Ooh,
and, yeah.
Got to give it to the old masters. They knew how to pick locations.
Oh, okay. You mean the dwarves. Okay, yes.
And I wouldn't put it past some of the old dwarves of doing a little mountain shaping just to enhance the effect.
Okay, so if this were a movie or a television show, the color palette would be grayish, sort of washed out since, you know, it's not a happy, dwarfy, bright place anymore. If you duck into a couple of the buildings, the ruined, fallen-in structures, you can see that there are spaces. It's much more cleaned up than you would have guessed. It's obvious that there's been a moving about of debris and stones and stuff to make room for something, someone. There are piles of debris outside and in corners and so forth, but there's no one here.
So poking through that, you might be able to actually gain a glimmer as to what our hosts were like in the past. If it's piles of gnawed bones, that's completely different from piles of bones that show knife work on them.
Here's the big question. They best be a bit careful because, if you know, they may have died here. So we at least find one set of bones.
Do you mean?
Former inhabitants. Yeah, unless they went back down and went and ran away, they may have died here. There should be at least a couple graves out there someplace. There won't be the last grave because the last grave is probably inside this building.
You're much more grim than that. Maybe they simply abandoned it when they had no market in Scoria and they relocated to Marl. Don't be so negative, sis. Anyway, I believe it's time for the scouts to fan out and get a good look at this valley, maybe climb up the side and get a good overview, get a lay of the land.
I would look around this cabin, try and give an opinion of whether or not they were farmers or were they, like, say, you know, sheep herders.
I'd have to say they were grain farmers, since it would be strange for you to have looked for that specific thing and then, you know, oh, they were shepherds. Yeah, no grain here.
Well, it could be a terrible case of feral sheep.
You probably find dwarf various like dwarf made utensils, obviously a century and a half old and broken in places and so forth, piled in places.
Start collecting what you need.
I'm looking out at the sea of grass, going, okay, bear. Let's see if their barley went to seed and still growing out there someplace.
As you will. Okay.
So I'm
she hoists her pack and you know gets his little knife out and starts to thumb it and you know starts peering at the various growing stuff beyond. I would imagine she's just swallowed up by the sea of tall reed like.
I just wonder how she's reacting, you know, being so close to the prince, because I would imagine normally she would stay as far away from royalty as possible.
Bear, why do you think that? Do you mean she's a hick dwarf and would
possibly
make an embarrassment of herself, or what?
Hell, she's in her own environment.
That's true. Right now, yeah.
Yeah. Besides, it's a small expedition. Like, she's probably met Fandral at the, you know, privy area at some point.
No, yeah, nothing humanizes your liege lord when he sees it with his trousers around his ankles, yeah.
All right, so I heard something about scouting, so that's a test in the making. Anyone else doing anything in particular?
Well, they're doing that. I'll poke around at whatever the recent remnants of whoever's been here, see if I can figure out anything about them, whoever's the squatters or temporary inhabitants.
Okay, interesting.
Ufko and Bear are going and his apprentices are going out, and we're going to see if we can find usable wild grain, because it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be barley that's gone wild again. But it is the right time of season to find it, though, because it should have nice, big, heavy corns. And you said it's fall. Fall's harvest time.
Surprisingly enough, I've got grain.
You got foraging. Ah, so maybe you should help them.
And so do I. I have foraging as well.
A scrounging we will go, scrounging we will go, taking notes on, what's her name again?
Bear.
This little valley has long since been wildered, right? There are trees, there are, you know, the grass and presumably grains are, you know, growing really tall.
Since this mountain, are they evergreens? Because usually it's evergreens up in the mountain. Yeah, the trees. Trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like push comes to shove, we cut a bunch of branches and we take the needles.
The odd like stunted birch.
But yeah, the evergreens, we can use the oils from the needles to bitter the beer. It'll smell like a little bit like pine sol, but it'll be drinkable.
Maybe you can make a good Christmas beer out of it.
It seems like John and Todd are foraging. The bear is off on her own, kind of looking for stuff to use, herbs and stuff.
We're all trying to stay with the line of sight of each other, though. We don't want anyone getting too far off.
Yeah, so I may stick one of my apprentices with her to help her out if she needs assistance with something, and then the other two will be with me. So she's not off by herself. She's got one person watching her back.
All right. And the other scouts are scouting about, and Fandral is checking out the remains, if any, of the recent passersby. Okay.
And I would imagine our axe bearers are with the prince, of course.
Yeah, right.
Just stand there with their arms crossed, wearing the sunglasses, you know, looking around, going. So, what's your foraging? Mine's a B3. Oh, we're both B3, so I guess I'll leave the foraging then.
All right.
Unless of course you want us to do multiple foraging rolls.
No, I don't. I really don't. That would be problematic. What I want you to do is make one test. Whoever can do it, wants to do it, can do it. And the other one is helping with an extra die. And the obstacle is going to be two, to find a good bit of a usable wild grain.
I can bring in my big grain wise. That'll help me determine if it's usable.
That sounds so appropriate.
So that gives me an extra die, or I'm trying to remember how the pool works. Or do I
your
get
grain? Your grain wise is four, so that means one extra die. Yes.
So far, I've got five dice. So can I toss in grain appraisal as well?
No. Wise is okay. Well. Appraisal would be more, you know, if you're at the market.
All right. So, yeah, five. Do I want to throw in a persona? How much persona do I have? I only got three.
You have five dice versus knob two. I know that the dice are sometimes even.
We'll go with five. There you go. We'll take a chance. Ooh, I got three. Is it worth my while to pop the six?
Not really, no. Mm-hmm. You find a sizable portion of grain. You know,
wild hops. Yeah,
you stay within earshot of each other and so forth.
I mean,
but you drift a little down the valley, looking for like the best possible patches. Obviously, since you're obsessive and all that meticulous, you know, you're going through every little bit, and you know,
same I imagine as you go.
You find a good deal of it. You know, you find more than you need. You also find something else. A small patched-up cottage further down the valley with a light in the window and smoke rising from one of the chimneys.
Oi!
Back to Fandral, since you're going through all the stuff. How about you give me, let's say, an obstacle four perception test, if you want to find anything useful in this place.
Oh, I got three.
Pop those sixes.
Fate. No, only got three.
All right, interesting. In that case, you poke through a few things and, you know, you seem to not find anything in particular. A lot of the stuff here is the dwarf stuff that's deteriorated over the last century and a half. But you do find a coin, a sort of nod-on coin that, I mean, you pick it up and you, I guess, shouldn't say that. You find something glinting, and it appears to be a coin. What do you do?
I'm a dwarf. I pick it up.
All right. It's mine! As the
boy mine.
This is Daffy Duck impression. Mine.
You see that it's a coin that's been minted in Scoria a long time ago. And it has the face of, you know, the first king or something like that. It has the face of the first king, which is a little weathered. Of course, you can't quite tell. On the back, there's a runic shorthand for whatever the title is. Interestingly enough, the first bit of the rune bit for the king's name says G-O-T.
Well, I would know the first king, right?
I don't know. Do you? Do you have ancient history?
Yes, I do.
Do you have your chronicles with you? Do you remember the big honking book with the list of all the crazy names and stuff?
I have that book. But
did you bring it to the surface?
I doubt I wouldn't have schlepped it up here.
Then it's plainly your ancient history, which is going to work as a wise. I'd say recognizing this person would be like an ob 3.
Yeah, we'll throw a persona on there too.
He knows his coins.
So what is your ancient history? Is it before or three or?
Before.
Ah.
Am I seeing 3 6s?
You are.
Ah, jeez. I am so jealous.
That's a devil of a roll.
Yeah. Nice book ended by 2s as well. All right, so who is this individual?
Well, you're kind of leading the thing here with the GOT.
Well, that's just a suggestion. It's where things were going until you succeeded.
All right, so I mean, I'm going to change it.
Yes, absolutely.
That wasn't a T, that's an L.
Oh, King Gothar the Hammer.
Excellent.
Beat the mountain into submission.
He beat the mountain into submission. I need to write that down.
There's a new saying for you by Gothar's Hammer.
Yeah.
At least it's vaguely better than Grabthar, but that's fun too. You know, if this were the series or film version, it would be like the moment where you turn the coin over and it's like G-O-T. Oh, wait, right. The hammer. Gothar. What's his name again?
There's a hammer here too, right? Yeah, there. It's a little worn, but.
Oh, right. Obviously. You know, there would have to be. I think he would probably have this famous hammer that is preserved somewhere, or was preserved, maybe. Maybe it's still in Scoria Deep. Maybe that was, you know, his scepter.
Yeah.
His hammer.
That's one of the ancient artifacts that would be the treasures that we could find.
Awesome.
Love the dread. Took.
Indeed. I'm inspired by this link that John shared at some point somewhere where I think it was in Denmark. They dug up a hammer pendant and found out that there was a runic inscription on it, and it reads, "Hammer is," meaning this is the hammer, which I would imagine is the famous inscription on Gothar's hammer.
This is a hammer.
Yes.
Oh, no. It is the hammer.
Yes.
He invented hammers.
Nah.
Back when you were being benighted people without a mountain. Didn't know tools. Awesome. Okay. Man, I like that. Failed tests for the win. Of course, you don't find anything pertaining to anything else. But this was an interesting find, at least suggesting that whoever lived here maybe had it in their possession, or it was carried out, or it was carried in, or on the way in, or, yeah, yep. A bit of a mystery.
Well, let me throw the next greedy question at. Did he find a penny, or did he find a coin of substantial worth, indicating maybe it was part of a haul that got away, versus a coin that was just lost and not worth picking up?
I would imagine that this is a fairly hefty gold coin, right?
Yes, it was part of someone's hoard then.
Yeah, this is a precious thing. It's not you know, she's magnificent, precious, but it's definitely like a coin of worth.
A solid gold coin will fit on the tip of your finger.
Oh yeah,
because it's a 1 ounce coin is very small. So if it's like, you know, larger than that, it's several ounces. I mean, we're talking, and it's heavy.
Yes, but it fits so nice in your hand.
Like it's a half a pound of gold in your hand. Like
nothing less for the hammer.
That's true.
All right, so while this staggering discovery is made, let's go over to the other staggering discovery of habitation further down the hill.
If Flint hasn't noticed it yet, I'll, you know, reach over, grab his head, and turn it and point it at the direction of the house.
Oh, perhaps we should leave him some coins for the harvest we're taking.
This is not a farming field. No, and by now they would notice us because there's no big empty patches of grassland.
Oh, so you started to harvest them right away.
Oh, hell yeah. When we found them, we pull out the sickles and we start going at it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're leaving the scouts to keep an eye open for things. So, of course, I'm the one that spots the house.
Well, they were further up, okay?
So I look at
him. They're not used to all this sky. It's confusing. It's bedazzling.
Flint, I'm busy here with the harvest. Go check it out. Find out who's there.
Oh, are you serious? Let sleeping dogs lie.
Oh, and do you want to get an arrow between your backsides when we turn to leave? Go find out who's there. Be nice. Put on your happy face.
Flint kind of scowls. Is that a happy face?
Only if you want to scare them.
Fine. This isn't my specialty. Should get the prince here.
Ah, he's busy poking around that house. Let him have some fun time. He needs to take a break. Besides, you want your vine to be the head of the goddamn family, right? You need to learn to talk to people.
Fine. I guess the next question I ask is, what size and scale is this cottage? Is it dwarvish or mannish?
It's dwarvish in design to begin with, but it's fallen into ruin, and then it's been not awfully patched together, but it's been rebuilded in a way that would shame the dwarven builder, the original like designer. But it seems to be solid, at least. And it has a roof and a chimney and everything like that. Okay. I imagine actually it's kind of like the rest of the valley. It's sort of half grown over. It's sort of half sunken into the hillside. Like the roof is all great big tufts of grass rolling in the highland wind and all that.
Oh, a sod roof.
Yeah. There are two windows, and both of them are you know, have light in them.
Sure. Well, we'll put on our oddly likable face and swagger on up to the door. There's a good chance they may know that I'm coming, because I didn't say I took my mail off, so there might be a bit of a jingle on the way up to the door. So I'll give them a chance to open the door first.
It's all that dwarven change. So you give them a good chance to, I'm sorry, what?
I give them a good chance to open the door first if they choose to, and I'll keep an eye on the windows to see if anyone pops out. But if they're oblivious, then I put a good dwarvish thump on the door.
Okay. You can see now that you're closer that there are like great collections of dried herbs hanging in the windows. And you thump, you can hear barely this sort of, it's not stealthy necessarily, but it's a very, it's very undwarf-like, the sound of the footfalls inside. It's, you can barely hear this sort of shuffle. And then the door opens inward. How about you?
Screaming in fear?
Make a steel test.
Great.
And this would be for surprise or wonderment. And since you have no modifiers to your steel hesitation, it's your base hesitation, which is will minus 10. Or it's 10 minus will, rather.
Well, so I have a hesitation of 6 and a steel of 5. So,
all right.
Which am I going with on this?
You are going with your 5 steel dice against an obstacle of 6.
Well, that's not very fair.
But steel is open-ended by default, so any sixes you roll automatically, you know, explode.
And I have nothing that I can modify that with, right?
You have fate points, presumably. And if you roll a traitor, you can re-roll it with a fate point.
Yeah, we might be throwing a lot of fate points at this.
Well, and you could spend persona for extra die, right?
Yes.
Well,
I thought I said that. Maybe I didn't. Okay.
Let's throw down two persona, because it's important to make a good first impression, and flinching may not be appropriate. And
you can always take stand and drool, okay? You don't have to run screaming. You don't have to fall prone and beg for mercy. You can pick stand and drool.
Well, I've got six persona. Burning two of them for a good first impression doesn't hurt. So that will get me seven dice versus an obstacle of six. And we will probably be burning fate left and right to try to save some face here.
This is a challenging steel test, by the way. So you can record that.
See, I get the... grim. Okay, so that's three, and I got four traitors. So I could throw down four fate? Yes?
No. One fate and reroll one traitor, since this test is open-ended by default.
And that's it?
Do you have... No, you spent your...
deed.
Your deeds. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I spent on my last deal test, as a matter of fact.
So. Well, you have three, right? So for three actions, you...
I'm going to spend a fate, so I at least get one die re-rolled here.
I thought you did that with the last three.
I have a total of four successes out of six.
So two actions, indeed, is the duration of your steel failure.
What befalls me, or what is this creature?
Does it look like Carol Kane from The Princess Bride?
Before you choose what you want to do, if you want to stand and drool or fall prone or run screaming or swoon or whatever, I'll describe what you see in the doorway.
Thank you.
First of all, you see a dainty pair of shoes. And, those lead up to pragmatic sort of buckskin, well-knitted trousers and sort of tunic. And then the face of the Itharch Ungweol in living form, without the crazy ruined head and dripping brains and all that.
When we see his face, we'd be identical?
Yes, except for, you know, not being broken.
Exactly.
Dwarves. hello. Wow. Have we met before?
So I guess you're standing and drooling.
More or less.
The elf looks at you and then gives you a poke on the nose. Well, he says, I've never credited dwarves with an overabundance of wits, but... Really, this is rather embarrassing.
No, you don't understand. You're not dead.
Oh, I can see confusion rising. Yeah, okay. So he says, you are very astute. You're probably the most astute dwarf I've had the pleasure of meeting recently.
You're really astute.
Yes, but it's a towering acumen there you have.
We'll just kind of like lean to the left, lean to the right, looking at his face. The resemblance is uncanny.
You don't say you don't use his name, though, do you? So he doesn't know who you're referring to.
Well, I am befuddled and baffled and drooling and what have you, so coherency is not a strong suit.
This is your first time meeting one of my kind, I presume?
No, that's the problem.
That's a problem.
Pardon me for asking, but last time we met, you were dead.
I don't recall ever meeting you, good master dwarf, but...
Flint.
Flint, yes, Flint. Finglorin wipes his dainty hand on his tunic and sort of reaches it forth in a dainty way. Not very, you know, dwarfy, grab your wrist and headbutt, you know, that kind
of... Yeah, okay. I'll shake it like the weak eel that it is.
Okay.
It's limp and moist.
Hey, you wouldn't happen to be related to, I'm always mangling it, Unguil? Is that how that's pronounced?
I think it's appropriate that you don't, that you're not very adept at saying it.
Fair enough.
But your meaning is to get across the name, yes. Anyway. Well, the name is familiar to me. How do you know that name?
We had a conversation back down in the tunnels.
Oh, he says, and he looks at you like part of him thinks that you have lost your mind and that you're probably, you know, one of those crazy wandering adventurer dwarves that have, you know, spent far too long in tunnels without company.
Well, if I get that look, so no, he was dead.
Which doesn't help at all.
And there's a big flashback to the Screed is Grace. You see, you know, it's a flashback with Ulfka going, you have to learn to talk to people.
It was an apparition, a spirit. This image is just absolutely spitting. I'd be cut from the same stone.
Oh, that sounds grave and ill, and
it was fascinating.
Perhaps I'm being inhospitable. Would you like to come inside?
Now that you mention it, I guess I should say why I knocked on the door in the first place. Our company is passing through down in the underway, and we are running short on supplies. So we are taking advantage of some of the wild crops here to reprovision ourselves. And we wanted to let you know that we are in the neighborhood and mean no harm.
Oh, that's very neighborly of you. I do hope you're not waking the mountain snake or serpent. I mean, that would be unfortunate. But so far as I'm concerned, you can take what you will. I subsist on very little.
Speaking of subsistence, I notice you have a very interesting collection of spices and herbs. Would you be interested in perhaps some barter or selling some of those? We have a couple of brewers that are always interested in new flavors for their concoctions.
Well, yes, why not? If you would tell me the tale of this, how you got to know the name Unguil, I'll gladly share some of my stores.
That is a fair trade. I will shout out, Ulfkel, Bear, come here. And then I will.
Well, did we see Bear, or at least the apprentice with Bear?
Sure. I imagine there are a pair of, dwarfy hands reaching up out of the sea of everything. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Gotcha, coming.
What? Coming. Right. No. Lower. Cut lower. You know what? We can use the saw for something else.
I will tell the tale. I will probably edit out the part where I failed to get the crown.
Okay. Well, let's take this from the top. You're invited in.
Sure.
Do you accept?
I am quite gracious in accepting his hospitality.
Are the rest of you, Baron and Ulfkel, and your apprentices going inside as well?
Well, no, I'm leaving my apprentices there to harvest the grain, but I'll come
now,
up. I guess Bear and her apprentice and the apprentice assigned to her are coming over, so...
Okay, Bear and the apprentice is going, is that an elf? I think it is. You ever seen one of those? He's so pretty! And so on and so forth.
Having seen an elf... A live one is actually much better than a dead one. So.
I've probably been an elf or two, because, you know, they probably hit regolith on a regular basis.
Do they? Well, maybe they do.
I cannot imagine elves being part of that dwarven sanctuary.
We have dwarves growing crops on the surface.
But it's in a secluded mountain valley.
That's true, too.
You're more likely to hit elves on the road over going through Mannish territories.
That could be it, too, because... We all probably make beer for export because it makes good coin in the human lands.
Oh, yes.
Probably have run into city elves, which aren't the same as well as forest elves.
But back to the cottage cabin. Okay, so you're invited in, and Finglarin goes and fills these ceramic cups with some kind of tea-ish substance from the hearth. Smells very, aromatic and so forth.
Me and Bear have a little quick conversation about, what do you think about this,
All right, the entire ceiling, which is just a makeshift rack across the entirety of it, is just full of herbs dangling down, dried herbs.
I'll have to play Bear for just a quick second, if you don't mind, play Bear for a quick second. Are all those herbs medicinal, or are they for other uses?
Oh, yeah, she's in Hick Wonderland, if you will. He indulges briefly, tersely, that Oh, yes. Some are. I trade them. Do you have a look around?
Behold my wares.
Yeah, she knows herbs better than I do, so she's probably sniffing and tasting and...
Maybe if she has a step stool.
Yeah, but if anything, if she can get at, she'll probably sniff and taste and see what they are.
Yeah, oh yeah, she's pulling your sleeve and we could use that. We can use that. Oh, nice. Smell this. And, she's pushing a big chair in front of you and, like, pointing up to the some sort of long, thin, dry flower. Mm-hmm. Clearly enticing you to go to balance on the back of the chair.
Sniff it and, ooh. Do you think we can find more wild out there?
Can't grow too far away, can it? I guess Piclorin sits down and listens to Flint tell his tale.
Yeah, it's going to be heavily edited. But I mentioned the strange tunnel and the interesting architecture, and the dwarf, the elf is like going, yeah. Then I'll mention the cave-in and the ghostly form. It felt like he had unfinished business, and that's why he couldn't leave this world.
Sounds grave. This was deep in the mountain, you say?
Yes. In a very unlikely place for an elf.
I would say so. Meanwhile, Fandral, the apprentices are taking an awful long time, and now one of the scouts are coming back going, Prince, we've spotted smoke further down the hillside. What do we do?
Let's investigate.
All right.
They aren't burning the field. They're actually harvesting, right?
I left them harvesting. Now, whether or not they decide to slack off a little bit now that I'm gone.
Brewer's work is never done.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you trundle down the valley.
Sure.
And indeed, you come upon, finally, a few of the apprentices who are bundling up harvested grain into, what do you call them?
Sheaves, yeah.
And, they nod. And sort of go, Ulfkill and Flint, and they went down the hill into the cabin there, and, they point to the smoke.
Somebody lives here, huh?
Yeah, who knew? It's not like they're harvesting anything. I wonder what they live by. I wonder what they eat.
Let's hope it isn't dwarves.
Hell.
We'll walk over to the cabin.
The not ominous at all looking, delightful, picturesque retreat. Once dwarven, now half dwarven-ish. And you know what? I guess the door is a little open, like a sliver. And you can hear Flint talking. And you can hear the back and forth between Ulfkill and Bear. I would say you come there just in time to hear Flint going, I'm sure he had unfinished business. And you hear this vaguely musical voice that is clearly not dwarven going, well, that is grave indeed. And this was how deep?
Then I probably burst right into the room.
Ah, Flint, there you are.
Do I need a steel test when I see, what's his name?
No, you didn't get a good look at the elf, so it's just a, surprise, an unpleasant surprise, I guess, for you. But
I don't recognize him as...
No, as the ghost? No. All you saw were like a brief flash of this really vengeful-looking individual with mostly blood and brains all over his face, and it was a ghostly apparition as well.
All right.
And you didn't dream his face later, so you don't have an extra, it doesn't affect you. You don't have the same reaction.
All right.
But yeah, I would imagine, no, actually the other apprentice is inside and sitting very prettily at this vaguely oversized table with his cup. And when Fandral bursts in, he leaps out of his chair, spilling his herb tea all over himself and the table. And the elf sort of puts a hand on him to calm him down.
Ah, Prince Fandral, we have met an interesting tradesman. That sounds good.
The elf gets up from his chair when he hears Prince and does a functional curtsy or like a bow. Welcome to my humble dwelling, Prince of the Under Mountain.
Did you give an elf bow to it? To a dwarf, or does he give a proper bow to the dwarf?
I don't know. Describe a proper bow, dwarven bow, and I'll say...
No. What I'm saying is, does he just, do the little half bend and come back up again, or does he actually bow?
Was it genuine, or is he being facetious?
A reasonable dwarf might say he was being genuine, but you have that instinct of not trusting people. So, I don't know, it's your call. How do you want to take it?
And I should mention,
if you take it the wrong way and you make a scene, absolutely, that's worth a fate point.
No bribery, no.
I'm just saying, that's his instinct. If instincts get you in trouble, you get fake.
They may be getting him in trouble, but not yet.
Yeah, okay.
Well, yes, and you would be?
Oh, my apologies. My name is Finglarin, and what shall I call the prince? Your Highness?
That will do.
Your underness.
Your shortness.
Your stoutness. Yes, your beardness. Okay. He appears to be a little overwhelmed and says, well, Flint, you didn't say you had royalty in your retinue, in your company?
I did not want to be intimidating. Your visage enough caught me by surprise.
Oh, yes. Let's forget all that, shall we? Perhaps I should inform your prince of the little arrangement we made. Yes?
Right.
I have agreed to supply you with, he gestures up to the just mass of dried herbs throughout the ceiling. Supply what I do best in exchange for a little story. And it was a good story. Thank you, Flint.
I aim to please.
I understand that you are on your way to secure the lost hold of Scoria?
Well, it's more of an exploratory expedition, wouldn't you say, sir?
Actually, let me rewind that. If you never even mentioned that by name or anything like that, he's not going to say that.
Okay, well, I did mention that we had a company with us.
Yeah.
Okay. And we were reprovisioning. It would not, depending on this guy's lore of the area, and the fact that he already knew about the mountain serpent, he could put two and two together.
Yeah, I would say he says this instead. He says, so where would this purple expedition be going, if I may be so bold to ask?
Along the underway. You know, us dwarves, always traveling under the mountain.
I see, yes, that is true. Well, there are not too many holds in this area, though, anymore, so far as I know. Though it is, I confess, a long time since I was under the mountain.
Are there any in the area that you know of?
Holds?
Yeah.
Well, yes, of course, there is the obvious, well-known Scoria Deep, and its various and requisite old supply stations and holds, but I thought those were abandoned, well, until recently, anyway.
I'd be interested in what the elves know. What are your stories of Scoria?
Oh, I would be too. And unfortunately, I had a falling out with my gracious progenitor. And we no longer see eye to eye on many things. What he thinks and what he knows, I don't share. But I could share what I know and what I have heard, if you wish.
Certainly.
I simply cannot say I speak for the elves, since I'm simply one exile.
Understood.
Well, how can I enlighten you? Would you care for a herbal tea?
It's a little good, sir. You can try some of this.
Yeah, I guess if I detect no signs of
odd behavior in the brewer. No, yeah.
Well, in the people that have been drinking it, I always detect odd signs in Ufkel, but if you'll it looks okay.
Now, the dwarves seem fine. And, he fills up one of the ceramic cups from a great pot from the hearth.
Yeah, we're not turning into pigs or, changing into wolves or anything like that, no.
Not
He's
yet.
Not Cersei. He's not Cersei so far.
I'll give my place to Fandral so he can sit and chat with the elf, and I'll stand by his side as a right hand of the prince.
Well, that is assuming the prince wants to sit down.
I'm trying to imply that he should be a more gracious host.
Gracious guest, you mean?
Guest. That too.
Sits down very carefully, shifting the axe around in his belt.
Of course. The firelight glinting all over your priceless dwarven mail. It seems to impress the elf in some fashion. Clearly you see the prince.
I got the beard, the noble beard.
Ah, yes, that too. Spilling out all over your priceless dwarven male. Okay, so how can he enlighten you? Do you ask anything in particular?
Well, let's start with the most recent tales of Scoria. Have the elves heard anything about what it's like there recently?
Oh, in recent tales, well, there was a... I don't know how much stock I would put in it. I only moved here recently, but I did hear tell in the human lands that a tribe of serpent men, or whatever that means, you know, humans.
Mm.
The men have such flowery ideas of how to express themselves. Anyway, I heard that they moved in along with their great worm lord in Scoria. Now, how true that is, I can't say.
Worm lord?
Yes, a great serpent. A mountain dragon, if you want to be dramatic.
Mm. This is all from the humans you've heard this.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If you wish the elven point of view, then Scoria was considered lost a long time ago. And no one has really paid much attention to it since.
I guess I wouldn't expect the elves to go adventuring under the mountain.
Oh, no, we don't belong in the earth. He's about to slip into some kind of... You can tell. Like he's about to slip into some kind of prejudice. Like, oh, that's just for a dwarf. The filthy, or the second born, or whatever, you know, you want to call dwarves. But he catches himself and says, oh, you industrious people.
Yeah.
Yes, we crave the air, you see, and the sun and the crepuscular rays out of the ever-welling cloud, you know? Those immutable, immortal moments you have only above ground.
Hmm. If you say so.
Prince going, that's not gold, that's not silver.
Bloody nuisance having a day-night cycle. We can work 24 hours a day if it wasn't for us going out to go to sleep.
Well, you've found a nice dwarven built home here.
Yes, this is true.
Solidly built, held up fairly well over the many years.
Oh, yes, it was hardly ruined at all. I simply shored up a wall and put in racks, and the hearth was almost entirely intact after a century and a half or so, I hear. Impressive, much impressive, very impressive. What else can I say? Well, apart from the serpent people and their supposed dragon lord... There's the tale, of course, of the lost scion, right? One of the siblings of the old Itharc. A long time ago, you understand. Some story about her burying herself in the heart of a mountain because the mountain's heart was calling to her, but I forget. It was a love story of some kind. I believe it was an elf maiden and a dwarven prince, perhaps. As pertains to Scoria, anyway. Well, long time ago.
That is a interesting tale.
Yes, well, it is a bit sappy.
Wow. Quick question. Is there any role to keep from spilling the beans and just yapping about, oh, wait a minute. How does that work? Or can I just do it just for the fun of it?
It depends if you have an agenda. If you don't have a specific agenda and it falls under the auspices of a skill, then it's simply role play, so far as I'm aware. And if someone then wants to shut you up, then that is a power versus power test.
Okay, well, we'll work at that angle then. Because Flint will just burst out, oh, you mean like that one tomb that we saw where there was the elves and the dwarves working together? Wasn't that so bizarre, Vandril?
I think that's where we unleash the baleful stare.
Release the baleful stare!
But that's another story.
that may be an interpretation of some of the carvings we saw, but they were very old.
Oh, that's beautiful.
A professional dismisser.
Sounds intriguing, but yes, well, you would have to go underneath the mountain to see it, I suppose.
Oh, yes, it's buried and a little bit treacherous to get to. The mountain does have its own cycles and breathes and shifts. It's not a fair walk in the park, is it? Is that how you would say it?
It's not a stroll down to the galleries.
As you say that, by the by, breathe and shift, there is this rumble. A quick just shakes the hillside and the everything inside the dwelling, and you know, the herbs start to shake and some of them fall from the roof, or the ceiling rather. He goes, you know, for a brief time. And you know, the elf has that ridiculous, annoying, perfect poise where he doesn't seem to vibrate at all, whereas Bear falls over and, you know, the apprentice is rolling around with his chair, and it's a mess. And then he looks at you, all of you, Finglar and the elf, and says, yes, breathe and shift. There may be something to those old Dragon Lord stories. Maybe you've actually woken the mountain serpent. That's where we're going to stop today.
Here we go. This happen often?
We need to save that snippet because I want that. I want Fandral's question to be the first scene next session.
Okay.
That is awesome. That, you know, the opener is just like, so this happens often.
We could work with that.
Yeah. Though I can imagine that us dwarves, we're used to earthquakes. We're just not used to them on the surface. Does either Bear or myself fall over in our chairs that we're standing in?
Bear for sure.
Or do we ride it out?
Bear did fall over. As did the other apprentice. I didn't want to dictate how you, you know, move around. If you think it's funny that you fall over or skid into someone or hang on to the door or something, then
I'm sitting there with one foot on the front of the chair, the other foot on one of the ladders, and it's only on the back legs of the chair right now, going whoa, whoa, whoa.
Next session starts with a question and furniture acrobatics.
Yes, this is more excitement than that elf has had in weeks. Dwarves crashing and splashing, bashing open doors.
Standing on his chairs and sniffing and tasting all his herbs. You got to be careful of that one. That's a diuretic.
Duly noted. Well, that was neat.
Yeah.
I think we're nearing wrap-up time.
Yes, we are. I'm going over the art awards bit because we can't forget. Here's something I'm going to do from now on in Artha Art Awards. Maybe it's wrong to double up. When you go for a belief, then you get a fate, right? When you test something in pursuit of a belief. And then I've awarded Persona if you completed it too. But I think it's more appropriate perhaps to earn fate when you're going for something, but don't complete it. A Persona when you do complete it. And a Deeds if you do complete it and it hurts you somehow, or that it has, you know, wider consequences like... if you've written a belief about someone else and you help them and it hurts you, or you can get a deed in addition to doing something like you help the goblin chief. I think you all tested pretty much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And both Kill and Fandral completed their beliefs, getting supplies. Yes, one persona each.
So when you said Fandral, did you mean Fandral or Flint?
Fandral. I'm looking over Flint now, and... You didn't scout too much, and I was too lax to say, maybe you should rewrite this or add something here. So
I'm good.
I don't actually see a great award anywhere.
Given that I have 21 fate, I'm not too concerned.
It was a short session as well. Let's see. Instincts. No instincts got you in trouble, really. Embodiment. Here we go. I think you're all great. You keep just... going back into... I know I should save it for, like, Fandral giving a scathing speech, or Flint arguing for gruesome revenge, or Ulfkel getting the apprentices into a frothing rage or something, but I think you've all earned a persona embodiment.
Oh.
Just dwarfy stuff. And then we're actually back to Workhorse and MVP, which may be a little tricky to judge. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any great big hammers this section. But yeah, Workhorse, having a specific skill to make a scene go, slaving away behind the scenes.
I'm going to say it was kind of even. Nobody actually kind of stood out.
Can I make a suggestion? I can't vote, but I would suggest Fandral, at least for being the cause of introducing cool fiction about the world, about Scoria.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. That's worth it. Bing!
Yep.
One workhorse persona for Fandral.
Okay.
And MVP. Anyone at all? couldn't have done it without you. Drives the story to its conclusion. Not really that kind of session.
Nah.
Unless you want to give the MVP to Finglar and the elf character.
We can do that?
You can do that, yeah. Remember, you awarded Bastard Weasel a fate point at one point? Not a fate point, a persona point.
Sure, let's give one to Finglorian, because he was kind of the center of the endgame there.
All right.
I have no idea how that works mechanically, but sure.
That just means that he got a persona point that he didn't have before, and now he can use it.
Yay! Creepy, yeah.
I mean, great.
Against us, yeah.
Or I'm to help you.
Yeah. He might offer some good advice, like, oh, by the way, don't step on that. Yeah. Yay!
All right, I should write that down, actually. Yeah. And I should put the new names we've invented on the forum. And I think I may have forgotten one or two characters, but then I realized that you've been putting them on your sheets, so that was helpful. Like that throwaway scout, for instance, that I had guide Ulfkell to the troll den.
Him.
Todd named, or asked to have named.
Absolutely.
You wrote him down, so that was great.
Rumi is kind of like a drinking buddy. Because I can totally imagine him and Flint, you know, just got some time off from duties. Let's go bounce around a few bars and see what trouble we can shake up.
Why don't you actually write him down on your relationships then? Oh, if he seems that important, I think that's appropriate.
Yeah.
Well, I just like the guy. What can I say?
Yeah. Obviously. He should have a name. We're drinking buddies.
Yeah, well, it's not like, you know, we stay at each other's homes or anything like that. It's just on the road together kind of stuff. So,
yes.
We always need more dwarves with F for a first name.
Well, I noticed that earlier in our session, John referred to Ulfkell as Fandral. So it's getting worse.
Oh, no. I didn't even notice.
Speaking of alternate stuff, I re-listened to North to Alaska. Damn, I just put a smile on my face. I just got a kick out of that episode.
Awesome.
I know you were winging it, but it just had that right silly pulp vibe to it. So I just wanted to do the tip of the hat on that.
Well, I think a lot of that would be what you guys brought to it. So that goes that sometimes when you maybe don't have a lot as a GM, sometimes the players can save it.
Totally, well, yes.
We'll put it up as teamwork, though. But damn it, I need to find a picture of Brian Blessed in a kilt. Is that how we're going to wrap that up? Is that going to be our teaser?
I guess so.
In that case, another good game. I'll catch you all later.
Bye-bye. Yep.
Catch you all. Bye-bye.
Bye. We diggy hole, diggy, diggy hole.
Mercy buckets, yes.
Yep.
The mercy buckets. Bring the mercy bucket.
I just heard a blah, 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 pop. And it's like... Did dirt just explode?
Jiggle the wire.
Pat the wife down for a jamming device.
Anywho, I think we've done enough babbling.
Send all complaints and other feedback at sunnyskypers@zoho.com. That's ZOHO.com or ZOHO.com if you prefer. Or come by the forums. SunnySkypers.freeforums.org. Or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.